feelings and beliefs are important in Christian experience, it is also vitally important to remember that Christianity is founded solidly on facts. And the greatest fact, so much so that I would say that Christianity stands or falls on this one thing, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The fact that the one whom we worship, the one whom we serve, the one whom we place our hope for the future in is not one who died and stayed dead, but one who died and rose from the dead and therefore is now alive and able to do all that he says he can do. And how do we know that he's alive? Well, we know that he's alive because some people met him after he rose from the dead. Today the focus is firmly on Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, I think, for many of us, is our favorite disciple. He's perhaps the one that we can identify most readily with. He's such a contradiction, such a mixture. And the story of Peter's transforming encounter is in John chapter 21. So I'm going to read John chapter 21, the whole of the chapter, from the New International Version. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, children, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, most people think that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And this is now where the spotlight falls very firmly on Simon Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Where do we find Simon Peter at the beginning of this story? Well, first of all, I think he's in a state of directionlessness. I don't know if that is actually a word, but I think that kind of sums up the state that Simon Peter was in. I have a silly kind of mental picture of this. You know, sometimes in these old Western films, there's some people just kind of loafing around in the town and sitting outside the saloon or something, playing cards and chewing and just not doing anything. And that's the way I visualize this scene here, that they're just kind of hanging about and kicking stones and hands in pockets and just they're just waiting for something to happen. They don't know which way to go or what to do. And this is the state in which we find Simon Peter and the others, a state of directionlessness. Now, why was Simon Peter in this state? Well, I think there are one or two things that perhaps we could use to fill in the background here. I think one of the things that contributed to Simon Peter's state of directionlessness was defeat. The memory of his recent failure must really have been still pretty raw in Simon Peter's mind, his state of defeat. Jesus had warned him at least twice that he was going to deny him. And yet, just suddenly he was engulfed in the situation of the arrest of Jesus, and then he found himself exposed, really, and people were saying, "You're one of them, you're one of them." And very quickly he denied Jesus and ended up cursing and swearing, saying he denied that he ever knew Jesus. And the memory of that defeat must have been still very, very raw. I believe he was forgiven at this point in the story. There's a private meeting between Jesus and Simon Peter on the first Easter Sunday that's not recorded for us. It must have been a really humbling experience for Simon Peter, and perhaps his blushes are spared by it not being recorded. But the defeat must still have been there in his mind. He must have been so angry with himself that he did it. And when he'd been so strong for Jesus, saying he was never going to deny them, even if all the rest did. And then there was perhaps the fear that maybe he would do it again, or perhaps do something even worse if he found himself in the same situation. And, you know, all that turmoil must have been there, and it kind of paralyzed him. So he's in this directionless state. Do you know that kind of experience, perhaps, where the memory of something sinful in your experience paralyzes you so that you don't know which way to go? He was in a directionless state, and I think that's perhaps one of the reasons why the memory of his defeat. But then there's perhaps another thing here. It's a sense of delay.